It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
From the You May Be Too Numb to Breathe file, New York Post, a loaded handgun fired off multiple rounds inside of a Virginia home after someone stored the firearm in the oven.
What?
After someone stored the firearm in the oven.
The fully loaded and safety not on firearm.
But every year around the 4th of July, there are people that are like, got to keep those fireworks dry. And they put them in the oven. And then someone turns on the oven. And then kaboom.
Chesterfield County Fire and EMS put out a Facebook post today saying, in all caps, please do not store guns or anything else in your oven. Upon arrival at the residence, firefighters opened the oven, found a gun melted to the steel grates. Says Chesterfield Fire, it turns out someone turned the oven on with the gun inside. The weapon heated up and five rounds went off.
Now, obviously, it's a good cautionary measure to not store anything in the oven. But anything? Like, I store my cast iron pans in the oven. Is that also...
Why? That's fine. Why don't you store them in a... Yeah, it's fine, but... Because
well, they're cast iron, so they're always kind of, they leave a black mark on the cabinet
shelves. Okay, can we talk about that? I can't believe you even use cast iron because, A, you're not a pioneer, and, B, it's not 1350. But I had a Blackstone grill, as you know, for like a few weeks, and then it just rusted out on me, and I could never figure out how to get the rust off.
Right. A lot of people use cast iron.
Yeah, they're called Dolores.
Well, my name is Sam, and I use it daily.
What does one make, Sam?
Does one season their cast iron skillet, Sam?
Every day after I clean it.
What do you season it with?
Oil.
Mm-hmm. Why do you hate Teflon?
Because it's bad for you.
I'm with Sam on this one.
It's full of carcinogens. Pardon me for reading into the products that I cook my food on.
Have you been returned to 2024 from 1887? And I've often wondered this about you. I really do think there is an old pioneer man dying to get out of Samuel. I don't know how he got stuck in there, but he's in there.
I love this analysis. I take no offense to this whatsoever.
Crotchety old man.
No, he's not that crotchety. He's crotchety just very pioneery. He logs his mileage in a little flip book he keeps in his catch-all.
You also got to remember, he rolls up his jeans pants. Legs.
I keep track of my mileage and gas.
Why?
And miles per gallon.
Why?
Yes, my pants are tight rolled right now. Okay. And yes, my mileage has been dropping a little bit, Dan, so I need to look into my air filter. I think it's a little bit dirty.
It probably could be the air filter. Yeah. It's the simplest thing. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Is my dad come back to life?
I believe so.
What is going
this
on
is
over
radio.
There?
But seriously, is there an issue with leaving my cast iron in the oven? Because I'm not putting
nothing,
it on the shelf.
There's nothing wrong with it until you bring it up on the radio, and then she gets to make fun of you for being from 1874.
There's nothing wrong with leaving the cast iron in the oven as long as it's not loaded.
Nice.
Okay.
Get out.
Please talk about the Heimlich because it's been on full display again this week. And I would like to remind everyone the importance, whether you're cooking with cast iron or otherwise, to chew your food carefully. And if you don't, please have someone directly behind you, like, I don't know, the governor, to save your life.
Christian Marino was choking on a lobster roll at his first competitive eating contest when a man to the side of the stage noticed what was happening and rushed over to give him the Heimlich. Turns out that man was none other than New Hampshire's governor, Chris Sununu. Video shows the governor lifting Marino off his feet as he gives him several abdomen compressions at the Hampton Beach Seafood Festival on Sunday. Paramedic then stepped in and continued the compressions until the food was dislodged. Marino quickly recovered and even continued in the eating competition.
But I want to describe a couple of things that I'm watching in this video before we get to the bulk of this story, and I do think this is a topic. The choking victim starts not aggressively pounding on his chest, but pound like doing this, Scott. I'm going to recreate it. Boom, 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 boom. He's got his hand in a fist. His right hand is in a fist. He's going boom, boom, boom. I'm going to count this. 1,000, 2,000, 3, 4, 5. He's still doing it. 6, still doing it. 7, 8, 9, 10. We are now 15 seconds into this video. His head is down. He's wearing a ball cap. And he's just sort of rhythmically doing this. We need a better universal sign for I'm choking and dying right in front of you. And I love that the governor knew the Heimlich and stepped in. This goes on for such a long time where his airway is clearly blocked and no one around him, including the MC who's right in front of him, no one understands what's happening.
Well, he didn't use the universally
which would be this.
Which is this.
Signal of
where you put both your palms both up to your neck.
I'm choking.
He's still pumping, still pumping. Still pumping, still pumping. Then finally he's pointing. Then the governor comes over and whoop, whoop, starts thrusting, thrusting, thrusting. There's three of them.
Dirty governor.
And then the video stops. Then you see everyone kind of leaning in going, is he choking? Well, yeah, that's after the guy's doing the Heimlich on him.
Was he choking on lobster?
Lobster rolls are rice. And guess what rice does when you start shoving that down your throat?
Swells.
It swells. It expands.
Huh. Did not know that.
So conversation number one we need to have is you need, if you are choking, God forbid, and your airway is blocked, you have seconds to get this figured out. We need a more frantic, I'm choking.
Which would be this sign right
than
here.
Than just the boom, rhythmic pumping of the chest. That's number one. Number two, why are we still allowing shove food down your throat contest for prizes?
Because it's America's game.
No, it is not America's game. This is not Johnny, what's his name?
Joey Chestnut.
Whatever.
Did you not watch Unfinished Beef?
No, I did not.
That beef has been finished.
Yeah, do you know how many people have died? And there have been like charity stuff like with sororities where everyone's like, see how many hot dogs you can eat. Well, what happens is the bread swells, the rice swells, and then you choke to death. And I don't care if there's a waiver involved. I think it's a bad idea. Did you notice the first sentence in the story, by the way? It was his first shove food down your throat eating contest. We should not be making a game out of something that is this intrinsically dangerous.
We'll make games out of plenty of things that are dangerous. Football, hockey. I mean, in hockey, we let them beat each other to pieces.
Right, but we don't
driving
just
at 186 miles an hour.
Throw somebody into a competition and NASCAR? Say, here, play hockey. Which, like with these county fair eating contests. I'm sorry, it's a bad idea. I can't believe we're still allowing it.
If I was choking right now, yeah. Would you know the Heimlich?
Yes.
You would.
Think of a capital J. Up and up, like a fish hook. Boom, 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 boom. And if I cannot get my arms around you.
Come on, I'm not that fat.
I'm just saying for everyone listening.
Saw that one coming immediately.
No. If you are a smaller woman and there is a larger man choking, and by larger, I just mean taller than you are. You back their back up against a wall and you take your fist and you shove it in and up, shove it in and up.
I think I've counted no fewer than three Dana-isms in the opening segment of today's program.
I am trying to save somebody's life. I went through the training with the fire department and they specifically, it was a bunch of women. They said, no one ever thinks about this, but if there is a man choking and he is taller than you, it becomes really difficult for you to not only get your arms as a smaller woman around, or petite woman around his abdomen, then to have to thrust upward with this larger man right in front of you. Put their back against the wall. Actually, if he's making that noise, it's better because that means there's air getting through.
That's right.
Look, Dan, I should be in first aid emergency services.
Why don't you come join the ski patrol this season?
I would like to ride on your toboggan. That would be the extent of my...
But you have to cook on cast iron.
Right.
We don't really do much cooking.
On the toboggan. I feel like if you
have, can also bend the larger person over a sturdy chair.
Yep.
That can help.
That's how Will Stare did it.
Mm-hmm.
That is how you self-Heimlich.
He's been Heimliched 5 times and twice saved his own life. And once it was getting to the point where Dan, he said his tunnel of vision was like narrowing to this little black circle like in the movies because he was running out of oxygen.
Mm-hmm. From Jasper Mirabli before we get to the break.
Yes.
In regards to Sam and his pots and pans, you must remember that Sam's grandfather was one of the greatest French chefs ever in Kansas City, Gus Reedy.
That is true. May he rest in peace.
What?
How did we not know this about you? You're a culinary offspring?
I am, yes.
Oh.
I bet Jesper knows how to season a skillet.
Okay. All right.
Why'd you have to say it like that?
I'm just saying. I bet he seasons a mean skillet.
Like to season his skillet.
Blackstone is probably not rusted with a tarp over it in the backyard.
913.
In a house they can't sell.
913-586.
Southwood. Has that thing ever been used?
7798.
The house or the Blackstone?
The Blackstone.
The Blackstone.
Four.
Okay.
About as many times as the electric bike or whatever.
Wait,
that
are you
thing
leaving
was.
It?
No. No, I am not, Sam.
I was going to say, I'll go take it.
For $660,000, I will sell you that Blackstone.
All right, we're late for break.
913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
Get those phones ringing.
From the text line, I'm with Dana. Eating contests are repugnant.
That's so disgusting.
Competitive eating should be outlawed for many reasons. So many people go to bed hungry, and we are rewarding gluttony.
Right, and also we are incentivizing choking to death. So I have a special guest lined up that I want to surprise you, Scott.
Okay.
Do you know what today is?
Today is September 10th.
Do you know on the calendar that we are celebrating a very special birthday in our Odyssey family?
Somebody here?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yep. Who is it?
Was the recipient who I was calling? Because they did not answer.
That awkward moment when it's your boss's birthday and I knew it, but you did not.
Alan or Roxanne?
It is not Alan's birthday.
It's Roxanne's birthday?
So I'm online today, and I see this beautiful post from her daughter.
Saying happy birthday right now.
Right. And it says, you know, love you so much, and there are some photos over the last couple of years and all of these beautiful experiences. And I just thought, oh, my God, that is the loveliest post from her daughter about her mom because it's her birthday. And I now know that because, well, it's in my calendar. I don't know if it's in your calendar.
I don't keep a calendar.
Well, I do. And it is front and center in my calendar today. And I would like to wish Roxanne a very, very happy 40th birthday.
Wow. Your ass kissing.
Oh, my God.
Knows no bounds. That was pathetic.
What'd you get on your nose?
That was pathetic. When did you really find out? About a minute ago?
Well,
show it to me in your calendar, please.
Well, I will show it to you in my calendar.
Before you type it in.
No.
And by the way, I knew that because I read my email.
I just texted her, OMG, happy birthday.
Okay, so go to your calendar.
Okay. Calendar is today.
September 10th.
September 10th.
Let me take a gander at that.
Okay, I had something to tape this morning at 10. And then if you scroll just a little bit.
When you type it in.
She is adding.
She is typing it in right now.
And then you do all day and you repeat it every year. And then it pops right up every year on the 10th.
That's so crazy because when you first turned your calendar to me, it was not there.
Happy birthday.
Do you guys read your email?
No.
Oh.
I do know they send out anniversary dates and they send out.
At 8 a.m. this morning, we got an email saying happy birthday, Roxanne.
On behalf of the entire KMBZ family.
Take a look here and see if I deleted that without even opening it.
I
don't even look at my work email. You know why? Because if there's something important that we need to know about, Sam tells us.
Now, I do read Alan's because he got mad at me one time because I did not. Right. And I did open it.
Well, that's even worse.
Earlier.
I wouldn't tell Roxanne that.
And I apparently just didn't care.
Okay. Joanne's great. She sends those out every day.
Yep.
Love it. Sure. Know it. Speaking of calendar, tomorrow we would be remiss if we did not point out it's September 11th. Do they still show, Scott?
They do not.
The replay of MSNBC?
For years on MSNBC, they would start up at about, 7:45 or so with the Today Show as it aired on September 11th, 2001. And I would watch religiously. Oh, by the way, Roxanne just wrote me back and said, thank you, Scott.
Yeah.
Has she written back to you yet?
I have not checked my email or my yes, thank you. Ooh.
See, she called me by my name.
Mm-hmm. Just says, thank you.
Mm. Interesting.
Tried to call you.
But no, MSNBC, they stopped doing that, I want to say, 3 or 4 years ago. And I would watch it religiously because
to remember, to force yourself to remember.
Exactly right, because, you know, it's been 23 years, as we all know, and you forget not only just how awful and deadly and traumatic that day was, but how fearful we were as a people and almost frantic in many respects because we didn't know what was going on. I mean, we had an idea. We were clearly under attack. But this nation had never been under attack like that since the 1940s. Most of us weren't even alive. Hell, my mother wasn't even alive. And so to watch your nation under attack like that and watch those buildings fall, oh. And so I would make it a habit to watch MSNBC every year on September 11th just so I would remember what it was like.
We mentioned this the other day on the air, and I think it bears repeating, that the number of firefighters who have mm-hmm. died from September-related illnesses has sadly surpassed the hundreds of firefighters that we lost on that day.
Mm-hmm. You know, and tomorrow is sort of officially, unofficially known as Patriots Day, if I'm not mistaken. And there's long been an argument, do we make September 11th a national holiday? And I don't know the answer to that, because if Pearl Harbor Day was a national holiday, how many of us would remember? Very few that are still alive today. Now, in fairness, none of us were there on July 4th, 1776, and we still take July 4th off. But that was just a horrible, horrible day that I will never forget.
Have you guys seen Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close?
Yeah, I read the book.
What's that?
So I didn't read the book. I saw the movie, and it is a tearjerker. It's about a son who his dad goes to work.
Looking for answers after 9/11.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm. The book is shattering. I want to say that was on the New York Times bestsellers list for years. It's very, very good.
Have you been to, and I don't want to minimize the other two sites where planes were crashed, but have you been to the Ground Zero site since they built Freedom Tower and the museum?
Not since the rebuilding of the tower. I have seen the footprints and mm-hmm. the fountain and memorial and the survivor tree mm-hmm. and then the very beginnings of that museum. Do you remember they had some artifacts when they were still, and they still are.
So you've seen the footprint.
I've seen the footprint.
The fountains. But not the new building.
Yeah, I was in New York a few years before the Freedom Tower was erected, and then the full museum.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I know that I do believe it is our responsibility to go visit that sacred space and visit the museum. Sure. But I also know that that is a heavy, heavy day.
Yeah.
Like, almost take the whole day off heavy if you're visiting New York City.
Yeah, we I don't think the museum was finished when She Who Shall Not Be Named and I went to New York. It might have been. I know that the Freedom Tower was done. I mean, my goodness. You know, and of course you can't replace the World Trade Center, but that building is unbelievable.
Yeah,
what they've built. You know, the thing that shocked me the most, though, is when you're looking at the footprint fountains. So for those of you who haven't been, they're fountains that are street level that go down below street level, of course. And it's the two footprints of the original World Trade Center. I was actually surprised how small
it was. Yeah.
Those footprints were.
Now, in height, of course.
It was a gigantic building.
Gigantic building. Yes. But I would agree with you. Like, the footprints are smaller than you think. They're not small, but they're smaller than you think they will be.
Let me ask you this. Are they literally the exact size as the footprint of the World Trade Center?
That was my assumption when I saw that site.
Or are they just supposed to be, like, symbolically, these are the footprints?
My assumption was those are the footprints.
Okay, because they're a lot smaller than I thought.
And all of the names are etched around it, and there's always flowers out there. It's horribly sad.
Telephone number is 913-586-7798. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. It was one of those days, if you were old enough, you will never forget where you were. Ever. Michael in Buckner. Hi, Michael.
Hey, guys. Real quick, you know, when you go, I mean, you have to be really intentional to go to...
You okay, partner?
Yeah, we're good. Hey, on one of the crash sites at Shanksville, Pennsylvania, you got to be intentional to go to it. It's about 40, 45 miles, something like that, off the main highway. You got to be intentional to go to it. Mm-hmm. My wife and I had the extreme honor and pleasure to go to this park in the beginning when they were just putting it together. And I could go on and on and on and tell you about it, but I don't. I want the listeners to research this. But there's stone walls that those of the listeners that have been there know about this, but there's granite walls that are lined up. And when my wife and I was there for the visit, the marble, granite, whatever these pillars are, they have the names of each person that was on that plane. Yeah. And one of the things that was really like gripping to me was the names that were, you know, they were engraved, but they weren't filled in. And that almost brought a ghostly sacredness to it. And then the one that was just stopped me dead in my tracks is when I got to the one pillar that, and please forgive me, I don't remember her name, but it gave her name and it said an unborn baby. Oh. And I had no idea, you know.
Yeah.
It was very educational. Didn't know it. Those pillars that have the names on them, they're all in a line and they point right to the crash site. And a lot of people don't know, maybe you do, but when you look at that crash site and you see the boulder, that's where the plane impacted the ground.
I see. I'm looking at this now, Michael, and thank you so much for sharing this. It is run by the U.S. National Park Service. There is a Flight 93 National Memorial.
I've seen services there before. Can you show me the picture of it?
Yeah, there's... you know, and I'm glad that you said, like, we cannot forget the other two sites and what a thoughtful design for that memorial.
Is it just one name per slab?
Slab. Huh. Yes.
Larry in Ottawa. Michael, thank you for the call, man. Thank you very much. Larry in Ottawa. Hello.
Hey, I just wanted to explain what I experienced that day. I worked for a very large distribution center here just outside of Ottawa, and they called for a general meeting, early in the morning, which was unusual. So, you know, I was at a good stopping point. So I walked up there and I think I was the first person up there, and I'm looking at the TV monitors and I'm like, I saw this plane crash into the second tower, and I thought, okay, what movie are we watching? Huh. And then our HR guy comes out and explains that America is under attack. And all I could think about, I mean, my heart just sank that it was real. And I'm sorry, but it hit me so hard that day that, you know, I'm watching our country under attack that day. And it was so surreal. I don't know how to explain it.
I think we all feel that way.
People agree with you, Larry. And to think also, we talked about this the other day, that, you know, those younger than us, and not by a whole lot, Scott, don't have those same memories. We're losing that. I mean, you remember the first high school class to graduate a few years ago was the first class that had, they weren't even born when it happened.
Yeah, and you know what I think is interesting is the Larry and Michael, you could hear the emotion still in their voices 23 years after the fact. Not that we would ever get over it. You know, for those of us who are old enough to remember, and my goodness, I was 30 years old when this happened. You were a little bit younger, of course. But my memory is vivid of that day. And to hear that people are still emotional 23 years later and just recollecting those memories brings them almost to tears because of what this country went through 23 years ago tomorrow. Peter in Overland Park, you get the last word. Hello, Peter.
Hi. So I was 1 year old at the time, but the reason I wanted to call in is just this summer I had the opportunity at Starlight to go see the musical Come From Away.
Yes.
Which is about that day. And if you weren't aware of that, Run, Do Not Walk. It's on Apple TV Plus. It's a fantastic, fantastic story of all of the grounded planes that had to land in Newfoundland and the intersection of so much of humanity at that time. And it's just something I had never thought about. And it's a fantastic, there are books about it. The musical's great.
The musical, real quick, Peter, was just at Starlight, and it is Come From Away, and I've got the book at home, and it is all of the planes when they were grounded immediately, Scott. I don't care where you are in the world, the planes are going to be grounded right now for the first time ever, and all of these planes ended up on this tiny little runway, I think it was in Gander, Newfoundland, and the hospitality that everyone in that town showed, where people were stranded there for 2-3 days and opened their homes to the folks on those planes. And, you know, there were people on the planes who had relatives on the planes. They did not know, you know, still what was going on.
Yeah.
Come From Away is the name of the musical and the book, and it is outstanding.
Real quick, before we get to a quick break, Larry just wrote back in. He was the one called in from Ottawa. He said, hey, I didn't get to say this on the air. During that meeting, we saw the first tower fall. And Larry, I beg your pardon. I thought you had finished with your comments. I did. If I didn't give you enough time to get everything out that you wanted to say, I sincerely apologize. Okay, so Come From Away, it's a musical, it's a book, is it also a movie?
I believe he was saying you could also stream it in some fashion online, yeah.
Hey, Peter, real
quick. You can stream the musical as a show, like in the way you would watch Hamilton.
Yep, got it.
Okay, all right, partner. Hey, thanks for the call and the recommendation.
You guys have a good one.
All right, you do the same. Thank you very much. Don't forget, we will be carrying the presidential debate tonight, starting at 8 o'clock between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump. Our coverage begins right at the beginning of that debate, 8 o'clock. It comes from ABC News. David Muir. Who's the other moderator? It's escaping me at the moment.
It doesn't matter because it's not right. David.
It's somebody else Muir. And then David Muir. Somebody who's not David Muir and David Muir. 8 o'clock tonight here on KMBZ. Story here from NBC News. Foo Fighters frontman Dave Grohl has admitted to fathering a baby outside of his 21-year marriage. Oops. The rock musician, 55, revealed the news in an Instagram statement today, writing that, quote, he's recently become the father of a new baby daughter born outside of my marriage. He went on to say, I plan to be a loving and supportive parent to her. Good. I love my wife and my children. And I am doing everything I can to regain their trust and earn their forgiveness.
That's a big hill to climb there, brother.
Okay. I just saw this and my jaw hit the floor. Is it true that there is no love for Beyonce at the Country Music Association Awards?
Not one nomination. Not one.
Wow.
Not even nominated.
Why? Oh my God, I love this song, the Texas Hold'em song.
How successful was that record?
Insanely successful. Have you heard Ya Ya, Ya 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 Ya? Oh my gosh, it's so good.
I'm not a huge fan of her music.
I'm not a huge fan of country music. It's incredible.
Let me see how well it did.
That is a snub. Round.
It'll be interesting to see if she even goes to the CMAs now that she's not been nominated.
Why would you go? I wouldn't go.
Well, lots of country artists who are not nominated still go. And technically, I guess she is now a country artist of sorts. Golly, You look up her Wikipedia, it's like 500 pages long.
Okay, but can I just point this out? And not to go all gender crazy, Dana, on you, but I'm going to.
Okay.
Morgan Wallen, Post Malone, and others did get multiple nominations. And Post Malone would not be one that you would
consider
a country artist. No. So he's nominated, but Beyonce isn't.
Malone has made multiple country albums. He is not a genre-specific artist.
Well, he was, and now he's not. And she was specifically R&B, hip-hop, and now she's not. She's branched out into other things. So why is he nominated and she's not?
Says here, Cowboy Carter was met with critical acclaim upon its release, with some describing it as a masterpiece.
Yes.
Texas Hold'em did spend 10 weeks in the number one hot country songs chart.
Did she have any number ones off that record? Not that would necessarily
matter. Texas Hold'em went number one.
Did go number one.
On Billboard's Hot Country Songs chart.
Rolling Stone gave Cowboy Carter 5 out of 5 stars.
It was a cultural phenomenon, stirring debates and extensive news media coverage about the historical role of African Americans in country music and their continuing struggles to be accepted by the Nashville establishment. With the CMAs, help me understand this, Sam. Who votes for that? I don't.
That's a good question.
Is that the artists?
I think it's a mixture of artists, past winners, journalists.
Members of the CMA.
Okay.
Music executives, artists, publicists, songwriters, and other industry professionals who are part of the Country Music Association. So it's like SAG-AFTRA voting for media stuff.
Listen to this. Following the 58th annual CMA Awards announcement of the nominations, numerous U.S. and international publications and music websites
criticized
the award ceremony's decision not to nominate Beyonce and her 8th studio album, Cowboy Carter, as well as the lead single, Texas Hold'em, in respective categories, despite the cultural impact and commercial performance to the country genre of the entire project. The event was blamed for conservatism, and I don't know how that comes in, and racism against black artists.
This is from Vox. Despite having the biggest new country album of the year, Beyonce received a complete shutout from the 2024 CMAs. Her Cowboy Carter topped the country chart, a historic first for a black woman singing country, and spent 22 weeks on the Billboard Top 200 album ranking. Yet despite the CMAs giving nominations to other pop crossover artists, including Post Malone and Shaboozy, the voting body denied Cowboy Carter nominations in any category.
Sam, play another song off her record.
It's so good.
The text line is exploding with it's not country.
Then who decides what country is?
Florida Georgia Line isn't country.
No, they are not. And if you ask me, a whole lot of the people in the country music scene today are most certainly not.
It's country. Pop. It's pop.
If you want to see country music, go to the Sprint Center on Saturday night.
Or go back to the 70s.
Hank Williams Jr. will be there.
Oh, is he really?
Yes, T-Mobile Center.
Sorry. Does he make it past 4 songs?
God, I hope so.
Are you going to be there? Play us. I know we're getting ready to get to the top of the hour news, and so we always play a song leading out. Play me a little bit of this Ya-Ya song that Dana likes.
Can I start it in 19 seconds?
Yeah, whenever you want.
Okay. Yeah. That's one that I made you listen to, Scott.
Is it country?
It sounds like the beginning of These Boots Are Made for Walking. Boom, 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 boom.
A lot of people writing it, it's not a country record.
Yes, it is. Oh, it's so good. Crank this.
Yeah, let's take a gander. Let's give it a day in court, as my brother likes to say.
Oh, it's so good.
Boom, boom, boom. Boom, boom, boom.
I'm not a fan.
Oh, it is so good. Oh my God, crank it. It is the best song ever.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.